our Father and our King. Father, we honor you this morning. Thank you for bringing us together this morning to spend this time looking at your word. Father, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to lift up our voices to worship you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins so that we would have eternal life. It is because of Jesus that we're all here today. It is because of Jesus that we know each other today. It is because of Jesus that we are going to be a family till the end and the ends and the ends of the earth. Father, we give you praise this morning. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please grab a seat this morning. Good morning, everybody. You can grab a seat there. It's great to see every one of you this morning. And we've been doing renovations here at the church. We've been here every day for the past month, every single day. And there was this electrician guy that came to help us do, no, sorry, this heater guy that came to help us do our boiler. And he did it and we came into the hall here. And he said, wow, this is the first time that he's ever done work in a church before. Oh, I said, that's fantastic. He now goes and he turns to me and he's standing and he says, Pastor? I said, yeah. He says, where's the cross? I said, well, there's no cross here, but I'm sure we can do something about that. So this morning, I didn't even told our Ephesi guy. If you don't know what Ephesi is, don't worry. And I looked around and I said, behold, a cross. Actually, that was a smaller cross. He put a bigger cross there. So I think next time when the heater guy comes, I'll just say, can you just give me a minute? I'll switch on the projector for him and say, there you go, that's your cross over there. What color do you want? Amen. All right, it's great to see everyone this morning. So really excited for what God is doing in our lives. And last week we started a series that I called You Shall Receive Power. You Shall Receive Power. And we looked at, Prince, can you just turn this thing a bit down, it's just echoing a bit. Yeah, just a notch down. Yeah, okay, that's good, thank you. So we started a series called You Shall Receive Power. And I was saying last week that I think in some of our minds, I think certainly me, sometimes, it's like I turn on YouTube and I'm watching like a revival meeting and there are loads of people there and you have the evangelist there and he says, now the Holy Spirit is here, now receive the power of God. And they do, and everybody falls under the anointing. And I love all that. However, what I said is that we run the risk of just restricting the Holy Spirit to those types of encounters where in a meeting the Holy Spirit moves, and we appreciate that the Holy Spirit does that. But we run the risk of restricting the work of the Holy Spirit to just that. The Holy Spirit is one that heals through us, is one that gives us, helps us to prophesy and flow in the gifts of the Spirit. And we absolutely love that. However, if you ask me, this is my view, I believe very strongly that a lot of the work that the Holy Spirit does is actually in the life of the individual, in the everyday things that we do. The life of the individual in the everyday things. Going to work, if you're feeling a bit tired, the Holy Spirit helps you if you need. So last week I spent time saying that, look, we need to also embrace the mindset that the Holy Spirit just doesn't appear on a Sunday morning or at crusades or when we're having these meetings, but that the Holy Spirit is with us every single day. And we looked at a number of things about the Holy Spirit last week. We said, what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit was mentioned to the disciples first, what were the things that Jesus said to him, said to them about the Holy Spirit? So we looked at a number of those things last week. The audio is on our website. One of the things we see the Holy Spirit does is he brings comfort to us. We looked at that in great detail. He helps us to be bold. He gives us peace and joy. So these are very personal things that the Holy Spirit does, not just the big things. And these were the things that Jesus was focusing on to say to the disciples in the book of John, chapter 14 and John chapter 16, that I am going away, Jesus said to the disciples, and they panicked. But he said, look, the Holy Spirit is coming and he will be with you forever. So that's what we looked at extensively last week as part of You Shall Receive Power. Now, today I'm going to focus on another aspect of You Shall Receive Power. But before I do that, one thing I mentioned last week is that as we go through this series, we want to look at the Holy Spirit. We want to examine what Jesus means exactly when he says, you shall receive power. We want to know what that power that we receive, that power that he promises us or that he has promised us, what does that power do? What will that power accomplish in our lives? Those are the things we want to look at. And my prayer is that by the time we go through this series, you and I will have a clearer view of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we're not just going through life struggling and not knowing the things that God has provided for us freely in the Holy Spirit. All right, so we're looking at you shall receive power. Now, today I'm going to focus on something else. And what I'm going to focus on today is something I've called determination is not enough. Determination is not enough. Now, Jesus had been crucified, he rose up, and he left these words with the disciples. The disciples were asking him all sorts of questions. When are you going to restore Israel? When is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? They were asking him loads of really pertinent questions. You know, if it was you in those days, you'd be like, God, what's going to happen in Bristol? When am I going to get a job? When am I going to, you know, that's Pastor Benson in CFT Bristol Church. Tell me about that man, is it? And you would have all these questions as well. My children, what's going to happen to them? Should they go to that school? What's happened? And they had loads of questions. And Jesus looked at them and he responded with one thing. Not neglecting all their questions, but in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says something. He says, but. So all these questions they're asking me, they're relevant, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, till the end of the earth. So there was a point that Jesus was making here. Jesus said they should wait to receive the power in Jerusalem. He said, all these things you're asking me, they're pertinent, but there is something that is super important. And that is that you receive this power. Then you're now wondering, they probably were wondering, oh man, Jesus, what's happening? We're ready to go. We're ready to win the world. We've just got this nice, shiny building. We're going to be doing coffee afternoons. We're going to be doing this. We want to go out and talk to people and just, you know, make the move, make it happen. And Jesus repeats Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power. So the question now is this. What does this have to do with you and I now? Of what relevance is it to you and I? So we'll look at determination sometimes is not enough. And we're going to look at the life of an interesting man, Peter. Peter, one of the foremost apostles of Jesus. And Peter was a very interesting man. We'll look at a number of things about Peter. He was like a real firebrand. He went everywhere with Jesus. If you tried anything with Jesus, he would cut your ear off if you didn't, you know, if you. So this man loved Jesus so much. He was on fire for Jesus. Do you understand? So let's look at this man, Jesus. So this man, Peter. We'll look at a number of things about Peter, then I'll make a point. So the first thing we see about Peter was this. He was determined to do anything for Jesus, even to lay down his life. If you look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 to 33, Jesus was about to be arrested and crucified. And he tells his disciples that when these guys come to arrest me, you guys are going to scatter and go your own way. And that's what this background is. So Matthew chapter 26, 31 to 33 says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on the account of you, I never will. He was like, you know what, Jesus? I know what you're saying. Not a problem. You see all these guys that are here? John, you know all these guys? They're good. Maybe they might, you know. But me? Forget it. Me? Forget it. And I'm looking at all of you here, so I know you guys would do the same for me. It's like, Pastor Benson, anything that happens to you, we're with you to the end. Then suddenly, this is hypothetically, some masked men just rush in here with AK-47s, three of them, masked, and they come, and they say, look, nobody panic here. We are here just for Pastor Benson. What you just need to do is walk out of that door, take the exit on the left. We'll give you guys 5 minutes. Everybody vacate. It is just Pastor Benson we want. And they fire into the air. And they said, we're not here to hurt you. It is Pastor Benson we have come to get. He has been preaching and preaching. And we're here from... I'm sure you guys will be like, what? You probably surround me. You make a shield around me, right? You're like, Pastor Benson, you have to get to us first before you get our pastor. You guys are looking like me like you wouldn't do that. Am I mistaken? Excuse me. You guys wouldn't do that. So Peter was the same. He said, look, I'm going down with you, Jesus. And Jesus just smiled at him. Now, Peter was determined. And he was really, really sincerely determined. And I'm sure in his mind, he made up his mind that no matter what happens, I will stick with Jesus. The way all of you will stick with me, I'm sure. And by the way, that was just hypothetical. Don't say it next Sunday. I'm not going to church in case this guy's armed men turn up. No, don't worry about that. We're in England. They won't turn up that way. The second thing we say about Peter is this. He really loved Christ. And he had a revelation of who Christ is. So, John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. So this was a man that really loved Jesus truly. The same way you love Jesus. He really loved Jesus and he had a revelation of who Jesus was. Matthew 16, 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So we begin to see the life of this man. That this man was not just someone who was casual about his faith. This wasn't a man who was just rolling about and was like, well, whatever happens, yeah. No, this man was a determined man. He loved Jesus and in his mind, he was ready to give everything and everything or anything for Christ. So that's the second thing we see about this man, that he really loved Jesus. The other thing, the third point we see about Peter was that he spent a lot of time with Jesus. Even when other people were saying, man, this church business thing is too much. I mean, prayer today, Bible study tomorrow. Ah, I'm tired. What's all that about? John chapter 6, verses 61 to 69. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you say the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and they are life. Yet some of you do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who would not believe and who would betray him. Now, let me go to verse 68 of John chapter 6. It says, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom? I'm just looking for, okay. I'll start from 67. Jesus now says to them, Do you want to leave too? And he asked the 12 of them, do you want to leave? Then 68, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So the third thing we see here was that Peter went everywhere with Jesus, whether it was convenient or not. And in instances where everybody will be grumbling, like, man, this is too much. How can we be doing this? Church business thing is just, can't we just take it easy? Let's take it easy. It was inconvenient, but he still stuck with Jesus that way. So I'm painting the picture of someone here who was determined to follow Christ. Painting the picture here of someone who loved Christ genuinely. Painting a picture of someone who would inconvenience himself personally to spend time with Jesus. But Jesus still looked at him. Jesus looked at them and he said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power. So why did Jesus think they needed this power? Why did Jesus emphasize this power so much? I mean, Peter loved him already. He was committed to him already. Peter had already voiced the fact that, look, I'm ready to die for you. So you might be sat here and you're thinking, amen, Pastor B, I love Jesus already. I'm committed. Anything, we're going to go through it together. Do you understand? So, needing the power doesn't mean that you're less of a Christian. Needing this power doesn't mean that you don't love Jesus. Needing this power doesn't mean that you're not committed. Because we see a man that was super committed here and loved Christ. However, at that point, he did not have the power. See what happens to him. I'll read from Matthew chapter 26, 69 to 75. They had just arrested Jesus in the garden. They had chained him and they were dragging him to be judged and to be crucified. Everybody runs away, including the super Christian, Peter. So, Matthew chapter 26, 69 to 75. Now, Peter was sitting in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You were with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you are talking about, he said. Then he went to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoken before the rooster crows. you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. So we see a point here, the fourth point, that this was a man who was passionate about Christ. This was a man who loved Christ. But when the tire hit the road, when crunch came to crunch, when, give me another one, another phrase. Give me another phrase. When, what's that guy talking about there? Give me a British phrase. Don't give me like an American one. Okay, let me give you an American one. You guys are like, what's Pastor doing? Well, whether you like it or not, I must do one American move in the building today. So when the time came and things became really tough and the man said, what am I going to do? And he said, oh, I'm not going to deny Christ. Everybody say amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to deny Christ. Anything that happens, I'm going to be with Christ. I have to wipe my brow. Oh, I'm going to stay with Christ. But when the rubber hit the road, the man said, Pastor Benson, I love you, but this masked man, I'm not going to take my life. I've got my kids at home. I've got my brothers and my sisters. My husband's at home, Pastor Benson. I love you, but I'll be praying for you after this masked man. Oh, you guys are not encouraging me to give you my proper mind. When the rubber hit the road for this man, he forgot everything he had determined to do. And he denied Christ. It's the same way we are geared up in our lives, and there's so many things that we want to do. You get home and like, God, I'm going to get up and pray every anything that's required in church, I'm going to do it. And I'm all in. Yeah, I'm all in. But when the time comes, or when life, you encounter life, you're tired. You encounter life and it's like, man, God, I'm sorry. Do you understand? The same thing happened with Peter. And do you know something interesting here? When Jesus came back after he was crucified, dead and buried, and he rose up, he came to this same Peter. And do you know that when he saw Peter, he didn't tell him, my goodness, how could you have denied me? With all the promises you made to me, how could you have done this? He didn't tell Peter that. He didn't even address the situation. Why? Because he knew something that they had taken for granted. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power. The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon these guys, and I'll come to my last point. We see a transformation in the life of this man, Peter. Now, I'll go to Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 21. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to pick some bits and pieces from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 21. It says, Ananias the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexandria, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or by what name do you do this? So Jesus had died, and these guys were preaching, and they rounded them up. The same people that sent for Jesus to be arrested, they called them and they put them in front of them, and they said to them, by what power and what name do you do this? Remember, this was the same Peter that a little girl came and said, you're one of them, and he swore. Now, the people who actually organized for the killing of Jesus, everybody was there, and they brought this man before them, including Peter, and they said, tell us today. I'm sure what they were expecting was like, this Peter guy, this guy is going to just faint. deny Christ again. Just bring him. Let's deal with him. Let's make an example of him. If this Peter guy can disown Jesus publicly, then that's what we're going to do. And they brought him in. And they said, by what power? Now, the next verse comes. Yes, apostle. They brought him and his mates in front, and they said, tell us. The masked men, they come here. Second time, the first time, I'm sure you guys will still. They bust into the building and say, everybody, hey, that sister that sings in the choir, tell us, by what power? And they're thinking, oh, these people are going to run away like the last time, although I'm sure you guys will never run away. And verse 8 tells us something. This was after they had got the power. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, this was the game changer. He didn't say Peter who loved Jesus more. He didn't say Peter who made a bigger commitment to Jesus. No. He said Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, he now began to recount some things about Jesus. And reading now through that passage, he now goes to them and says, summarizing, we will continue to preach. They now threaten Peter and his mates and say, if you preach, we will deal with you. And they said to them, face to face, who is it better that we obey, you or God? They could not believe that. Is this the same Peter? And the Bible tells us this in this same Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that these guys are unschooled. They said, where did they get this courage from? What happened to these guys? Well, what happened to them was Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They received the power. And because of that, their lives were transformed. Because of that, they were bold. Because of that, they were able to endure hardship. Do you understand? Why? Because Jesus knew that what these guys need to do anything I've asked them to do is this power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying that, look, the same way Jesus told his disciples then that you are excited, I know. You are committed, I know. You love me, I know. However, there is something you need still. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you in this walk of faith. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to give you boldness, to give you comfort, and to walk through you. So we see a shift, a transformation between Peter before the power, before Acts chapter 1, and Peter after. Visible difference. So for you and I, we don't want to do things by our own power and by our strength. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, it is not by power and is not by might, but by my spirit. So the topic that we looked at today is determination might not be enough. It might not be enough. You and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning we're going to rise. And I just want us to pray. How do we receive this power? The Bible says we ask. We'll look at it in more detail next time. But this morning we want to pray. And you want to ask that, God, baptize me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptize me with the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Let that power come upon me afresh. The Bible says once you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. However, there's another baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes. There's another baptism of power that the Holy Spirit gives us. And this morning, we just want to pray and ask that God baptize me with the power. Let's just begin to pray. Father, baptize me with the power. Ask God to baptize you with that power afresh. Father, we thank you for Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Baptize us, O God, with your fire. Baptize us with your fire, with your power. Why don't you ask the Lord to baptize you afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the fire. Father, let your fire, your fire, your fire baptize everyone that is here. Why don't you ask God, baptize me with that fire, that same power that transformed the life of Peter to become a new man. Father, baptize me with your fire, with your power. Father, we thank you. Baptize us with your fire. Father, we ask, strengthen us afresh. Strengthen us afresh with your power and with your fire. Father, we pray. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Our Father and our King, we thank you for your word that we have heard this morning. Lord, I'm asking, oh God, that even beyond what I've been able to explain about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about the power and the fire that changes us, explain to every one of us in more detail. Father, we ask, oh God, for a fresh fire, a fresh outpouring, a new continuous outpouring of your power upon us, as you have promised us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Lord, I'm asking that you will explain these things to us in greater detail, even in our hearts. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name.